Talk 1490 WERE and streaming live at NewsTalkCleveland.com. News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at NewsTalkCleveland.com. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
Monday at 5 o'clock because we're here, the issues, the people, and the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, the senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church, located right here in Cleveland, Ohio, 113 18 Miles Avenue, where we have our worship service every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I'm also privileged to be the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the clergy organizations in the city of Cleveland, and we're all back to work now. Starting tomorrow, we'll be at United Pastors Mission. Our congresswoman will be out there speaking to many of our clergy, and then tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we'll be at the Baptist Ministers Conference with Reverend Dr. King for our 1 o'clock meeting. Our meeting starts back up, and then on Wednesday, we'll be at the Baptist Pastors Council at 1 o'clock at Pastor Gators. I'll give everyone those addresses, and we're back doing what God has called us to do, and that is to be about our Father's business in times like these. Yes, we are on the air live on Martin Luther King Day. This is not a day off for those of us who are continuing to fight the struggle of Dr. King. This is not a day off. This is a day on, and we've been on and popping all weekend long. We started with the great celebration, the annual celebration. Friday night, SCLC Gala, we had a grand time at Greater Abyssinia Baptist Church, and where Reverend Dr. Cavins is a senior pastor, and where he's also the president. Dr. Cavins is the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and we had a great time and great food, and we honored some folks, and our speaker was the one and only Reverend Dr. Otis Moss, Jr., and he did an outstanding job in speaking to us and telling us in our space, in our time, in our space, that we are going to make a difference. And this was an excellent program, historical moments, and we're just honored to be there. And then on today, many of you may have watched on Fox 8 News. You saw Reverend Cavins there speaking to the folks at First Energy, talking about the Martin Luther King Day and how important those things are to them. So I was there with Reverend. We got up this morning in the snow, had to be there at 8:30, and that usually when people point things for at 8:30 in the morning, they don't intend for me to be there, but we were there this morning, and then we had a musical at noon today at Greater Abyssinia, first annual musical that we held today in the direction of Brother Glenn Bracken, so we had a great just celebration, so we've been on Martin Luther King Day, not off. And we're privileged today. Dr. Jarvis is with me this afternoon. Say hello to our Facebook family as well, Dr. Jarvis.
Good afternoon, everyone. And you missed a very good musical at Greater Abyssinia Baptist Church. And those young people were just outstanding, were they?
Right. The men of, what do they call those young men? The men of the word. We'll get it. We'll get that name. But we also are privileged today. If you want to ever know about the King movement and someone in modern day, in our age and time and generation has been working on the King Issues for the last 30 years is my dear friend, Bishop Tony Miner, is in the house. And welcome to our Facebook family, Bishop Miner.
Thank you.
Who is the pastor of the Community of Faith Baptist Church. Isn't that right, Reverend?
That's right. Community of Faith Assembly.
Oh, you're not. I'm sorry. Make sure you talk directly in the mic.
Community of Faith Assembly, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Right. Community
of Faith
Assembly. I love my Baptist brothers, but that's.
Oh, well, you always going to be Baptist to us.
Yes,
you
sir,
know,
doctor.
You was on the order of the day for you preached at the Baptist Ministers Conference and at the Seven Last Words.
That's right.
So, as far as we're concerned, but you know, Baptist people think everybody's Baptist, God for you, Bishop.
It's like everybody's a doctor.
That's right. But Bishop Miner, you have been working directly on these civil rights issues for much longer than I have. And I first want to tell people about your personal journey in relations to Dr. King and Joseph Lowery and Ralph Abernathy. Some people don't even know who those folks are. So give us a little short, brief history about your relationship to yourself and the King movement.
Yeah, well, thank you. First of all, you know I'm from Cleveland and went to the South in the mid-70s after graduating from Collinwood. Ended up at Morehouse College.
And
there.
That's the same college that Dr. King went to.
Dr. King came from. Same place Dr. King came from, and sort of the hub of the civil rights movement. And so a lot of students were actively involved in a number of social justice activist issues as students, and there I got involved in Andrew Young's campaign, and from Andrew Young's campaign I became known as a student activist, and from there I met Joseph Lowery, got involved with SCLC, worked with Dr. King's kids, and
now hold on a second, because many of our audience, we have a diverse range of audience, so many people don't even know who Andrew Young is.
Okay.
So why don't you educate folks about who these folks are. Of course, Dr. Jarvis and I know who these folks
are. Okay, well, good. Wonderful. You know, in Dr. King's movement, it was just not Dr. King. You know, there were a host of people that worked with him and worked alongside him, of which Otis Moss was one of them. But one of his key supporters and one of his key aides was the Honorable Andrew Young, who was a young preacher who went on to become the first congressperson from Georgia since Reconstruction. He went on to become UN ambassador. And when I was at Morehouse, he was running for mayor and
for the city of Atlanta. Right.
And, you know, there were a host of people with Dr. King that we know, Congressman John Lewis, James Bevel, Hosea Williams. Yeah. These were individuals that did advance work. So it was a team of people.
Right.
And by the time I went south, I had the opportunity of working with a number of people who had worked with Dr. King and who were actively involved and actively engaged in social justice and inspiring a new cadre of young people to really get involved.
Well, Bishop, that's why I really wanted, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and be a part of this program today, because I have been telling, and Dr. Jobs will tell you, I said this at church yesterday, when you talk about the King holiday, we're not just celebrating the man and his legacy, but we're also celebrating, moreover, the movement, which includes a lot of people. So King epitomizes the movement of the team of people that made us who we are today. So it's not just about Dr. King as an individual, but it's the movement and all those team of people. And that's what we kind of need now.
Right, exactly.
Team of people to people are someone trying to, I think, and we got that gets lost sometimes. And that's what I love so much about you. You have never lost that concept.
Right.
You always said we have to have a team of people.
Right, exactly. And you know, I recall, I got involved accidentally. I always, when I do these talks, I talk about Debbie Carter. I was a student at Morehouse and I happened to just be at the library, saw a beautiful young girl, being a guy from Cleveland, you know I'm going to try to talk to her. And she asked me to join her downtown. And so I followed her downtown. It turned out to be Andrew Young's campaign office, right? And so while I was there, they asked people to help volunteer in the campaign. In fact, the next day, Andy Young was going to be on campus, right? And so... Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, you know, I went... I went downtown following Debbie Carter, and they gave me flyers. They gave me flyers to pass out. Andy Young was going to be speaking on campus the next day, and they hadn't done any organizing. And so on that night, I went dorm to dorm.
Okay.
On Clark's College campus, Morehouse campus, Spelman's campus, and the next day at the rally, the Andrew Young rally, it was packed.
Okay.
And so I was called up front. I was called up front, and I was appointed the student activist, the student campaign coordinator for the campaign. Now, I wasn't trying to get involved in the campaign. I was just trying to get Debbie Carter.
Right.
You know, but I was doing community service, and community service got me involved in the movement. Now,
that's great.
Interestingly enough, now this is where it's interesting, and I talk to people all the time about being at the right place at the right time. Now, the person that I began to work with was Reverend James Orange. Now, I didn't know who James Orange was for a long time. He's 6'5". He was a big guy. Now, Reverend James Orange was from Marion, Alabama. Reverend James Orange was the man in Alabama as a young preacher. He was registering people to vote in Marion, Alabama.
Okay.
And he got arrested. And it got out that they were going to lynch James Orange. And so all of the organizers at this time, SCLC, SNCC, and a host of them were in Selma just simply trying to get a movement together to register people to vote. So that night they had a march, right?
Yeah.
They marched down to the sheriff's office to try to protect James Orange. Now on this night, the sheriffs came and they shot out all the lights and they beat up all of the organizers. This was the night that Jimmie Lee Jackson was killed trying to protect his grandfather.
Wow.
And it was from that a crazy young organizer named James Bevel, he said, I'm going to take the body and the casket of Jimmie Lee Jackson and we're going to march from Selma to Montgomery. Dr. King came for the first time because James Bevel was working for SCLC. Dr. King said, no, you can't do that. We got to organize this thing. And they planned the first march. The first march was the march that became Bloody Sunday.
Gotcha.
That was when they tried to go over the bridge, right, of the Edmund Pettus Bridge,
right?
Because there was a mean old sheriff in Selma named Jim Clark. And Jim Clark had gotten the courts down there to ban all civil rights protests. And so the thing that Dr. King was concerned about on that first march was whether or not they were going to break the law. And so they went over the bridge, and that's when Hosea Williams and Amelia Boynton and John Lewis, where they got beat up, that became Bloody Sunday. So the origin of that movement was James Orange. He was the first person that I met down there that got me involved in the campaign, and he was very close to Andy Young. See, the thing was that after Dr. King died, see, I was there in, I came to Atlanta in 1980. It was some years after that I realized that I was there in 1980. That's the first year I went to Morehouse.
Okay.
That was 12 years after Dr. King had died. And as I reflect upon it, we would be in meetings and different activities, and I would see people cry. They would literally cry at the thought of Dr. King, his name at services. And then I realized it was years after that. It was years after that. It was years after working with the King family, working with Julian Bond. Years. I was back home to Cleveland, all of that. But then I realized that 12 years isn't a lot of time.
But it's not.
You know, I still, when I think about my parents who died now 20 years, I mean, I cry. I was there where the city was still mourning. And it was so exciting during that time where they were really bent on trying to keep the dream alive. One other story.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you got me. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so
we have time, Leo. We're good. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so, you know, I remember going to a student meeting at a church. First time I met Ralph Abernathy. Now, his son was a classmate of mine. We were English majors at Morehouse, right? And I was also classmates with Dexter King, right?
Okay.
Ralph and I were good buddies. I had never met his father. We were at a rally at a prayer breakfast. And he came up to me and he said, "You're Tony Miner." I said, "Yeah." He took me, grabbed me by my hand, looked me in the eyes, and he said, "Young man, in all that you do, keep Dr. King's dream alive." And he just squeezed my hand, you know.
Wow.
And it always takes me back to Debbie Carter, because I went to Morehouse. I went to Morehouse to really prepare to go to law school. I wasn't thinking about the movement. I wasn't trying to be a preacher or any of that. But then I met Debbie Carter. Strange things happen that open up one's path.
That's yes. Right. Wow, Bishop Miner. Fantastic. Thank you. We're back. We're back to issues of people in the community. You'll hear from us after this break. You can give us a call if you want to ask Dr. Miner, Bishop Tony Miner, a question. Give us a call, 216-578-1490. We're going to come back and talk a little more about the legacy of Dr. King, but then most importantly, what should we be doing now? Hear from us on the other side of this break. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Thanks for staying tuned in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, where we hear issues, try to settle issues, and find the people who can talk about the things that's going on in our community. So, see you in a little bit.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Watch the Urban One Honors January 20th at 8 p.m. on TV One and enjoy a star-studded night celebrating 40 years of Radio One, honoring the biggest names in entertainment and hosted by Kathy Hughes and Chris Tucker.
For our troops and their families, the military is more than a career. It's a journey, and every step along the way, the USO is there.
It's an experience that soldier will never forget. That's what the USO does.
Be a part of their journey. Donate today at USO.org.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally. Weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 30 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Reverend Al Sharpton, host of Keeping It Real with Al Sharpton. What you get on my show is real, plain, and simple. You get the truth. You get the facts. I'm here. I'll always be here. And I'll always keep it real. We keep it real. We keep it real. We keep it real.
Keeping It Real with the Reverend Al Sharpton. Weekdays 1 till 4 p.m. on the People's Station. News Talk 1490 WERE. And streaming live on the new BlackPlanetRadio.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
All right, we're back. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips, the issues of people in the community, the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, and the senior pastor of the Sure Isles Baptist Church. And we're privileged today to have Bishop Tony Miner. And Bishop, I would say I've known you at least 15 years, and that's the first time I've heard that story. Shame on me.
No problem.
A great story, though.
Yeah.
But I know you have a history of working in the movement, and I couldn't think of a better person to epitomize what's happening today and someone that was young in that at that time. How do you enter the movement in this juncture and stage? So. Why don't you tell us, Gwen had a question. Why don't you ask your question, Gwen?
Okay. The question that I like to pose to you as a former educator myself, and I remember when I was teaching school and I had the students to do a timeline, they could all know how they wanted to die. However, I had them to do something about Martin Luther King, and they had the nerve, I want to say, not Martin Luther King never did anything for them. So my question that I have, how is it we can change the behavior and the thought process that these young people would adopt to the movement that we need to keep Martin Luther King's mission and his movement alive? What is it that we can do?
Great question.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think it's a question that every generation has asked, right? And you know, one would think that in each of those movements that there was always a mass of people. Now, when you look at the March on Washington, now we know that was a massive movement. But when each of them went back home to their communities, it was always a small cadre. And so I think how we get others involved, I just look at my own life, right? James Orange didn't pass the torch to me. See, that's the first mistake that we make, is that we think someone's going to pass the torch. Mm. James didn't pass a torch. James lit my torch. Mm. When I met him, he was 40-something years old. Now, when he was working with Dr. King at first in Selma, right, he was 19. When I met him, he was still doing the work of social justice. But what he would do, he would go on campus and he would walk the halls and talk to students and get them involved, and he lit torches. And so what we have to do is we have to, in a very intentional way, is identify young people who have a mind and a spirit to serve. And we have to open the door. He made a way for me. He opened the door. He got me the internship with Andrew Young, and he introduced me to Joseph Lowry, and I became his student pastor. He opened the door. And so if we want to get young people involved, we have to build them up, give them opportunities to serve. I think that's one of our problems, that we're asking people to pass a torch, but that's not what we should be asking them to do. We need to ask them to light torches and give others and young people especially opportunities to serve.
Right. You know, just yesterday in our congregation, we had one of our young people gave a talk about Martin Luther King, and she did the history of Dr. King, and she's in her 20s, and that was just our way of lighting a torch to engage our young folks and engage people in general. I was telling you all off the air that one of the reasons why we have this radio broadcast is so we can educate people and remind people of who we are. And one of the things that we don't do a very good job of in the African American community is making sure that we maintain our history and our legacy and know how important that is. We always rush to try to get away from our history when we should be embracing it. And if we really want to, and you know what is very interesting, and I want to get your thought about this, because Dr. King is extremely popular now, but the day before his death, his poll numbers was in the tank. He wasn't popular in the black community nor in the white community. He was not well liked at all. All that changed when he died.
Right.
And so speak to that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's really interesting because, you know, when I did my doctoral work, my doctoral mentor was Dr. Wyatt T. Walker. Wyatt T. Walker, as a young preacher, ran the Birmingham campaign for Dr. King, and he became the pastor of the Canaan Baptist Church in Harlem, right?
Yes, sir.
And he talks about, and he helped me see that actually Dr. King really didn't die on April 4th, 1968, that he died on April 4th, 1967. Because it was in 66, actually, that Dr. King began to talk about war and peace and economics. And as Dr. Mm-hmm. Cavendish talks about, is that the progression of Dr. King's movement, right? That's so he started out dealing with civil rights. Mm-hmm. Then he went to Selma, was dealing with voting rights.
Right.
And then around 65, he began to deal with issues of economics. And when this country preacher began to talk about issues on the world stage, and on 1967, April 4th, at Riverside Church, mm-hmm. where he gave the speech, "It's Time to Break Silence," and he spoke out against the Vietnam War, that's when everyone turned against him. See, it was okay for him to deal with issues of race, issues dealing with black folk, but when you began to really challenge the powers that be, right? That's when people began to ran from him. Then when he went up north, went to Chicago, he said Chicago was the worst experience he ever had.
Yes, it was.
And so that it was...
They ran him out of Chicago.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But people began to run from him, and he began to be depressed. He was challenged about his beliefs. There was a turn in the movement mm-hmm. where people began to talk about black power, right? But he was adamant to deal with issues of poverty and economics, and it was a shift that people didn't like.
And that's why he was ended up there in Tennessee at that time, because he was there for the sanitation workers.
Right, exactly.
And he's trying to reignite his light and mission, and he was not well-liked at all, but then he dies. And everyone just loves him now. Exactly. Now we have streets. There's not a street in urban America, save that one that they voted out last election cycle, that doesn't have a Martin Luther King Jr. street in it. And we celebrate that. And that's why we need to really understand the essence of the movement. Right. And we need to, when we understand that, we can now pick up those. Take our lit torches and run the next stage, because the next stage is economic justice.
Sure, sure.
And that's exactly where we are.
And you know, I studied under Joseph Lowery, who during his early years was a chairman of the board when Dr. King was alive. Then he went on to become president at SCLC and eventually became the dean of the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. right? And he used to say that Dr. King would be very unhappy and would be very embarrassed about a national holiday. He said, especially the fact that people have turned him into a dreamer and that they are using the day not as a day of sacrifice, but a day of service. Now, service is sacrifice, but Dr. King was just not about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. He was about challenging the powers that be to share wealth, to take risks, right? And to fight against the forces that would hold us back, but now we have this. It's really sort of sad for those of us, and you all are included, who knew what King was about. And King was an activist. Everyone now, it seems, worked with King. Everyone now marched with King.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that people went on vacation when Dr. King came in town because they didn't want to be identified with him because he was challenging the powers that be. And that's the King that we need to continue to lift up.
Well,
that's
how is it that we can get these young people today to lift up, to remember, and then just to put in their spirit the movement of Dr. King?
Yeah, I think we got to do what we were attempting to do in the 60s and the 70s and really rekindle black history and rekindle small group education, right? We got to go out and find the thinkers. We got to challenge the rappers, challenge them that have instruments. This is a time, I have a son that is remarkable with the video, and he does vlogs, right? And he does pranks, and he's one of the emerging vloggers in Cleveland. He's only 18 years old. And so I'm challenging him now to use that tool for a social cause.
Right.
Instead of talking to people about songs and fashion, talk to them about crime and talk to them about violence. And so we have to challenge our young people to use their skills and their abilities to be concerned about their future. You see, we have to get them to see that this is about their future and what is the future they want to have in the next 10, 20 years. Right. They have to own their future.
Okay.
And I think we got to go. Okay. But I wanted to say, you know, there's always a small group of people that was in the movement to move it the next thing. And sometimes we have to realize that, Dr. Jarvis, is that we're not going to be able to get everybody. But that doesn't mean we can't keep on marching. Got to keep on moving, keep on working, and fighting for till our freedom gets here. So, well, thank you, Dr. Bishop Minor. Can you stay one more segment?
Oh yeah, all right. We really appreciate
you being here, brother. All right, you're listening to The Issues, the people and the community we have with us, Bishop Tony Minor, right here from Cleveland. You will be surprised about all the quality of people and leadership we have in our great city. And I thank you for being here with us today, Bishop Minor. We work together on a day-to-day basis, and we're going to talk about some of the things we're working on in our next segment. And you hear from us on the side of this break. Give us a call, 216-578-1490. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Okay, and thanks for tuning in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We are at News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE AM, the People Station. You have several ways you can listen to us. You can download us with the News Talk app. You got Alexa in the house. You know she likes to order things for you. And we also can listen to us on the internet at www.newstalkcleveland.com. So stay tuned in, and you're welcome to call 216-578-1490.
Yo, Unc, what's up with all this paperwork and all these calculators? It looks like an office in here.
Oh, nephew, you know Uncle Earl always got a plan. I stay working. It's time for folks to get their income tax. And I'm helping them out to send them right over to North Coast Auto Mall to get them a new whip. That's what you say, right?
Man, I ain't even think of that. Easy money for a down payment, but I don't really have a big refund coming back.
Nephew, I done told you. You don't need a lot of money down with North Coast Auto Mall. All you need is 99 cents. And North Coast Auto Mall has everything from Toyotas to Hondas to sports cars and SUVs. The biggest selection around for any credit situation. You can go to any of their three locations on Brook Park in Parma, across from Chapel Hill Mall in Akron, or right on the Bedford Auto Mile near Broadway and Rockside. Or pick up the phone and call 1-800-NEXT-CAR. It's just that simple, knucklehead.
All right, just help me with my forms, and I'm going to get them a call as soon as I get my cash back.
North Coast Auto Mall. It's your money. Use it for the ride you've always wanted. 1-800-NEXT-CAR.
99 cents down. For example, amount of finance equals $9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297 only 1 cent upon approved credit.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Our future is a reflection of the seeds we sow today. Let's make Black history. News Talk 1490 and AARP presents Future History Makers, recognizing those who are making history in the Cleveland community. Do you know a future history maker? We want to honor them. Nominate the person you feel is making a difference in the lives of our youth. It could be an entrepreneur, mentor, teacher, coach, or even a community leader. The nomination and voting period begins January 6th and ends January 24th. Honor your future history makers today by logging on to newstalkcleveland.com. Brought to you by the AARP, McDonald's, the Cleveland Monsters, Great Lakes Honda, Dominion Energy, Gentleman's Jack, and News Talk 1490.
This is Jim at a party.
Hi there.
This is Jim watching his favorite horror movie.
Hi there.
And this is Jim driving his car.
Dude, not hi there.
Good decision. Jim knows that if you feel different, you drive different. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fajitas are back at Ruby Tuesday. Fresh grilled veggie shrimp and chicken fajitas for only $7.99. Flavors that make a meal feel like a fiesta.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
All right, we're back. The issues, the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, Senior Pastor of Sure House Baptist Church here in Cleveland, Ohio. If you're looking for a church home, place to be, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, 11318 Miles Avenue. And I also have the privilege to be the Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. I don't have my button on, I should. You have your button on, though, Gwen.
Yes, I do.
Man, that's good to see.
I don't mind sharing with you.
Well, I'm going to just put you on Facebook, and we'll put it on there, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We appreciate that. And our groups are starting to meet tomorrow. United Pastors in Mission will be meeting at Oakwood Village, Mount Zion Oakwood Village. Our president is Bishop Larry Macon. At 10 o'clock tomorrow, I will be there. Bishop Miner will be there. Our congresswoman, Marsha Fudge, will be there. We're going to be talking about some hot issues here in the city of Cleveland. You don't want to miss that. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll be having the Baptist Ministers Conference, Dr. Leonard T. King, at the First Zion Baptist Church on 105th and Garfield. You want to be there at 1 o'clock on tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, the Baptist Pastors Council will be meeting at 1 o'clock. Pastor Herb Gator is our leader there on 126th and Luke at 1 o'clock. And we have the night conference is meeting tonight. We have this, our clergy is back to work doing God's business, and thank God. One of our leaders of our clergy groups and in the clergy coalition as well, and Dr. Bishop Miner and I have been working together intimately for the last 5 years, and I really appreciate all of his work, and he is here with us today in the studio, and he has a great history of working with the civil rights struggle. When we look for answers about what was the historic of these moments, we always turn to you, Bishop Miner. Well, what did those older guys do, Bishop? And you give us leadership and instruction, and we really appreciate that, what you're doing. And God bless you. Thank you for being here today, Bishop.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you, I'm sure you had a heap of things to do today in celebrating Dr. King. But I know one of the things Dr. Jarvis and I watch you, Bishop, and we say this all the time, if there's anybody that's actually carrying out and living out the dream of Dr. King here in Cleveland, as you're one of those folks, Bishop. And so tell us some of the things that you're working on currently to help bring transformation to our city.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, it's really amazing because I've been back in Cleveland for 30 years and was dispatched by Joseph Lowry to really restart the SCLC chapter. It had been dead, and we, you know, restarted it. That was 80, 81. And since then, I've been just trying to stay relevant and allowing the issues that are out there to be able to respond, to be equipped to respond. And in the last 4 or 5 years, been working a lot around violence, and that started working with Omar Ali Bey and Khalid,
right.
Back when I was in public housing, and really learned a lot during that time. And now I work at the hospital, Metro Health, so we're doing a lot around trauma-informed care. At my church, I'm focusing a lot on education, you know. So I'm really doing three things, just really keeping my eyes for emerging social justice issues, working on trauma, and working on young people. It's real interesting, as you keep your eyes open on issues of social justice, things happen. Just like the last couple weeks, I began to just read in the paper, was talking to you, Pastor Phillips, about what's being proposed in council, about the reduction of council. And,
right.
You know, when you look at it. And
oh, wait a minute. I forgot. We got a caller, Leo.
Okay.
We got a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, this is Dantes Taylor.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks
yes,
for calling.
Yes, and I would like to talk about the reduction of council.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, we were just getting ready to talk about that.
Yeah, just about
that. You got a question there?
They're trying to reduce it from 17 to 9 councilmen. And they're trying to put 3 on the east side, 1 downtown, and 5 on the west side of Cleveland.
Now, do you have a question there, sir?
Yes, I would like to know, are y'all going to help with that, or what's y'all take on that situation?
Okay, stay right there. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. I'm part of a group that flat out is opposing it. Right. And so what we are working on now is the process. And as you know, this guy, Tony George, along with some others, they actually have signatures for it to go on the ballot. And the question
is already on the ballot.
It's on the ballot. That's right. Well, it's a march. That's right. It's a march. And so the question becomes, you know, as we oppose it, and we're here sitting on King Day, right? On King Day. And the interesting thing about learning over the years, the question is, how do we find a path to negotiate? Now, if there isn't a path, then we fight. So what is the fight? We oppose it. We're ready to fight it. We're ready to
fight it.
So the question,
no.
Right.
Reduction of counsel, because you have some good councilmen on that's on city council. Like Joe Jones, he's a good councilman, and I wouldn't want to lose him. Kevin Kelly, I wouldn't want to lose him. It's a lot of them that I wouldn't want to lose.
All right, Dantes, thank you for your question.
We're going to let you respond.
I'm going to let Bishop Minor respond again because I want to, and let's be clear, and when Bishop Minor says he's part of a group of the clergy, I can say this, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, we oppose the reduction of the city of council and the reduction of their pay. And that's just it. That's where it's at. Bishop Minor, you can let these folks know we, the clergy, have met with Mr. George so we can try to negotiate and make sure we can do something about not having this be a battle in the streets.
And that's right. You've been
a part of that group. As a matter of fact, you brought a great solution, and we're trying to work through that. So we're trying to work through it so we don't even have to have a ballot initiative about it. But, you know, if the question is where do clergy stand on the reduction of council, reduction of their pay, we would oppose that
because
we don't think that's in the best interest of the
definitely.
People.
Definitely. And we certainly oppose it, but we're trying to search a path where that if we didn't have to have a ballot fight, let's not have it. I mean, there's a number of different issues that we are dealing with. Most importantly, we got this presidential issue that's coming up. And as I said, for the first time, I met Mr. George. I was with some other clergy, and he made 8 or 9, 10 points. And I said to him, you know, I think the half of the people would share those concerns that you raise. The question that I asked him is that what doesn't make sense is how you jump from those concerns to the reduction of city council as the solution. So what's the evidence that by reducing city council is going to fix those issues? I said, is there any empirical evidence? Has there been a study? And he said, no, I hadn't studied. I said, well, I think in order for you to convince anybody, there ought to be a study. You ought to show through some evidence that the reduction, that strategy is going to result in your goals, objectives. Because everybody wants more jobs, clean streets, right? Wholesomeness, health care, all the things that he raised.
Safety.
We all want that. But we also want to make sure that whatever we embrace, whatever strategy, that it doesn't harm us. And we as African Americans, we got to be concerned about the power of the black vote, right? There's no question about that, right? And we do not need an unnecessary battle. But if we have to go to battle through the science of organizing, the science of voter empowerment, we will. But there's also the science of negotiation. And how do we find a path that if we don't have to fight that fight, then let's not do it. But if we have to, we will.
Now, Bishop, and what was Tony George's, Mr. George's response to your suggestion as we were in the room about doing a study?
Well, he said he would go back and talk to his folks about it. And so here is the caveat. So if you're interested in a study, then we need to find a way to pull those petitions.
Yes.
So that's the first step. And then if there is a study, then it needs to be a non-partial study done by a third-party entity, right, that includes the voices of the residents.
Absolutely.
That's the key. But the first step is pulling the petition.
And I would say that he agreed that we could do – he agreed. If we can do a study and get the city council to do a study, he agreed to that. Okay, we can pull the petitions. Let's do something, but let's make sure that we are going down the right path. I read an article today in the Plain Dealer, Bishop, and we can talk about that if we got a moment, that, you know, kind of outlays and even did a comparison about different cities and what different cities are doing across the landscape in our country. Boy, this time is going by too fast.
When we get into a real deep conversation.
Let's talk about that. If you want to talk about that, because that is a civil rights issue.
It's a civil rights
issue. And we want to make that clear. And we're always about the people. You always got to put the people first beyond your politics. It's got to be about the people. So we're here, the people, the issues in the community. We're going to come right back and pick up that conversation about the city council reduction ballot initiative. And people, I think we should try to solve this problem without having to go to the ballot. That's the best course of way to go. And we've been saying that. We've had those folks here on the radio. But Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here. We're going to be back with our last commercial break.
Thanks for staying tuned in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, where we talk about and have concerns about the people, the issues, and the community. This is News Talk Cleveland 1490 WERE AM, the People Station, and you can always pick us up for a long time on www.newstalkcleveland.com. Alexa, don't forget to Alexa, probably Echo too. You can listen to us and download the News Talk app. You can hear us 24 hours, 7 days a week. Thank you.
This Girl Scout cookie season, we Girl Scouts would like to say thank you, America.
Thank you, cookie cravers, thin mint enthusiasts,
peanut butter patrons,
shortbread devotees.
Every time you take a bite of a Girl Scout cookie, it's good for us.
Your coconut and caramel cravings are our chance to practice goal setting.
Your midnight snacks help us learn to manage money.
Your freezers aren't just full of tasty treats.
They're packed with entrepreneurship. That's right, entrepreneurship.
You probably can't taste the business ethics or the decision-making or the people skills, but they're in there.
In every single mouthful.
Every time you eat what's in the box, we learn how to think outside of it.
So raise a glass of milk and raise our chances to reach our potential.
Eat up, America. We're counting on you.
I'm Catalina.
I'm Melody.
I'm Katie.
I'm Devin.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Abby.
I'm Juliana.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Olivia.
I'm Colette.
I'm Stefania.
And we approve this message.
The Girl Scout Cookie Program. Think outside the box.
This is Al Jones, boxing enthusiast. Tune in to In the Ring with Al Jones, Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on 1490 WERE. We will be bringing you the best in boxing with up-and-coming amateurs, hot prospects, current champions, and the legends of the game. Don't forget, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, In the Ring with Al Jones.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Sterling, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now's the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good evening. This traffic report sponsored by Staples. As we take a final look at the roads for your commute home this evening, if you're in Summit going southbound 77, look out for an accident blocking the right lane at 76 with some slow-moving traffic coming back from Vernon Odom Boulevard. And in Stark, if you're traveling southbound 77, you'll find another crash that's blocking the right shoulder just after Portage Street. In Cleveland, we have reports of an accident on McCracken Road at Lee Road. Also, another crash on Route 2 just after East 9th Street. At Staples, there's a whole lot more in store, like a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at low prices every day. Stock up for the new year at Staples. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WERE AM, the People Station.
right, we're back. The issues, the people, and the community. I'm Pastor Aaron Phillips. I am the host of this broadcast, and we're on live. We're on live. All right. And so we thank God that we're here today, and we're talking about the city council reduction. Everybody knows who we are, so I want to go straight to that because of that. And Dr. Jarvis said something. I want to really address this. She said she doesn't know Tony George, so she would like to know. So I want to say, let folks know, I do know Tony George. I know him personally. He's a friend of mine. He's my brother from another mother. I love him. And when his young son passed away, I was right there with him at the service. So when his son was in the hospital, I went and prayed with his son. We're close friends, and I let people fully know that. Most folks know that, Dr. Jarvis, anyway. So I want to say that live. But in spite of that, I'm always what's in the best interest of the people, and that's why I've been trying to work. And I've had Tony George and Kevin Kelly Bishop right on this radio broadcast to talk about this issue so we could bring some resolution and resolve this issue. And I want to be clear, and Brother George knows how I feel about this and how the clergy feels about this, but this is not about Tony George, because people, he didn't do this. He didn't just say, I'm Tony George, we're going to reduce council. People who are registered voters from the city of Cleveland had to sign a petition to say this is what they want to put on the ballot. So we're not, the battle is not with him. The battle is with the people who there must be about 20,000 people who said they want to see their city council reduced and they want to see their city council's pay reduced. And so you got to answer those questions. And if we don't understand the makeup, we're not even going to be able to respond to the community, because the truth of this is, and I don't think we should be reducing our city council, but our city council people, Bishop, need to be responsive to its constituency. And evidently, 20,000 people from the city of Cleveland don't think that their council person has been very responsive to their needs. Otherwise, they would not be saying this. It's almost like in church. You know, I'm not going to get put out at my own church if I'm doing a good job. You know, the people are not going to vote me out if I'm being about my Father's business. But if I'm not, because there's always going to be some people who ain't going to like you. But if you should have enough good work and enough folks in your corner that they shouldn't even try to think about trying to get rid of you. You understand? Well, so that's the way that goes.
Well, I think these 20,000 people who sign these petitions, have they taken the time to seriously see how it affects their own household? Because we talk about the government affecting the world, but these things are affecting your household.
Well, I want to.
I don't know if people really take and look at that.
Bishop Ward, why don't you speak to that?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
Bishop Ward, Bishop Minor, why don't you speak to that, Bishop?
I think, in fairness to the current council people, one of the biggest concerns about the reduction for the residents is that now there'll be less council people serving a larger constituency. Okay. That's a concern. I think that's beyond race, beyond class, beyond geography. I think that's the huge challenge that every resident has to really get their head around, right? But I think one of the things that Pastor Phillips talked about is that we need to work with the council people and work with other clergy around town, and we need to hold some forums. We need to hear what people feel about it, because it's through voter education and voter empowerment that we can get the voice of residents to really step up. This is not, based on that article today, this is not going to be an issue that's going to go away, right? It's not going to go away. And I think that folks are going to continue to search for answers, because they're frustrated. They're angry. They want more services. They want jobs. They want safety. They want good housing. So they're going to search for answers. Our jobs is to make sure that we don't respond emotionally, that we respond rationally, and that we embrace good policy that's best for everyone. And that's going to take time.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. And I will tell you that it's important for us to make sure we respond intelligently to that, because everybody, most people will tell you what's most important to them is not how many council people they have or what their salary is. But what's most important to me as a, and I'm a Cleveland resident, is that I'm safe, that my I live in a safe neighborhood. I want folks to be able to come to our church in Cleveland and be safe. Safety is a number one issue, and we have all this violence that is happening in our community, and we need to be speaking to that. And so that's one concern that I think most people have. The other thing I know that most people are concerned about is the school district, making sure that my kids are getting a quality education.
And
so that I can send my kids to school without any harm coming to them. So those are the things that need to be addressed, not the whether or not we need to reduce city council. And I would like our council people to get engaged. Or we as clergy have to be engaged. The police need to be engaged. We need a community activist. We all need to be engaged in trying to work towards solving problems and not just fighting. You know, I never think that, you know, cutting is never an answer. You know, when you start cutting stuff, usually, you know, the black folks going to lose that,
exactly.
You know. So that's always, yes. I always get concerned about that. And I know some of our clergy feel the same way. But, you know, is a question, would we like our council persons to be more responsive to the needs of its constituency and be, do I want the east side to look like the west side? Absolutely. Do I want the police to respond quickly when I call on my side of town the way they do on the west? Absolutely. So we need to address those kinds of things that need to be addressed. And I think, I don't remember who said it in the room, but Bishop, we agree with the issues that why people want to see the reduction, but we just don't think that's the right strategy.
And that is
right. What's really key.
Right. And when you think about a campaign, and you know, there was a time 20 years ago, immediately when this came up, I would have said, and I'm about to say exactly what I'd have said. I'd have said, "F it, let's fight." Right? Let's fight. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's real interesting because I had just met with a group of pastors. And we were going to meet with city council, meet with folks from the community development corporations to talk about economic development on the east side, to put together a plan, to really think about how do we get more businesses, how do we get more jobs on the mm-hmm. east side, how do we put together a comprehensive plan that everyone can own, and really challenging the corporations. This is just not a black issue. This is for all of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And so these issues, these side issues, if we don't have to have a protracted battle around this council reduction, let's not have it. And let's put our energy towards something that's a little bit more constructive.
Yeah,
that's
I agree. Right. And because even trying to have a forum, because of safety, I feel a lot of people don't show up
as they used
to. Yeah. And that's to have a rally, it might turn out to be not what you anticipated.
You hear from the same people all the
exactly.
time.
Mm-hmm. The quiet.
You're right. And I would, that's a very, very good point. And we need to make sure that we are addressing what needs to be addressed, what's really important, and this is not that. You know, I would rather have, because Tony George is a developer, I'd rather have him come to Ward 1 and do some development in our community, and let's be partners and let's put some people to work and let's build some things and let's make our communities better.
What's his number?
Let's do that.
And his group.
That's what we need. We need to be engaging people, not ostracizing people. And that's
exactly
what we need to be about.
Hey,
we're listening to issues of people in the community. We got 30 minutes of uninterrupted conversation. We got Bishop Tony Miner here, Dr. Gwen Jarvis, and we got you. Give us a call. What do you feel about the city council reduction? Give us a call, 216-578-1490. We want to hear from you about this issue.
I got to run.
Send your angels raining down here on the battleground. For your glory, we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Anoint my head.
Oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
it
down.
Angels raining down here on the battleground.
For your glory.
For your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies
like never before.
We're waging war.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. News Talk 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights WZAK HD3 Cleveland.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
News Talk 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights WZAK HD3 Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
We're back to Issues of People and the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Darren Phillips. Thank you to our Facebook family. I got friends and relatives who are watching. My dear friend Norm, thank you for watching. I don't like to put everybody on blast, but that's my buddy, Norm Ince. Listen, Dr. Jarvis, I want to go right back to this. We have 30 uninterrupted minutes. Callers, you can call on the radio broadcast, 216-578-1490. We are interested in hearing from you. We are planning on having community forums regarding this issue that will be led by the clergy, Cleveland Clergy Coalition, and other folks coming together. Bishop Minor will be there. We'll be answering questions and mobilizing people, as we're going to have to educate folks. And one of the biggest problems with this whole thing is this on the ballot in March. And March is right around the corner, March 17th, on St. Patrick's Day. So Bishop Minor may have to go, Dr. Jarvis, so we want to let him say a word to us before he has to dart out of this studio. And thank you for being here.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Sometimes out of challenge comes good things. And even with this challenge with the council reduction, there are a few of us who haven't worked together in a long time. That are now working together. You know, we are prepared. So if it comes down to a vote, we just have to get ready and do what we have to do. You know, I'm from Cleveland, grew up in Cleveland, grew up in Glenville, empowered in Glenville. I pastor a church in Cleveland. I have strong self-interest, and there's just a lot of talent and ability that's going to join us in this fight.
All right. Well, stay for a call because they may be just for you. We'll take a call. Caller, go right ahead.
Hey, Tony Minor.
Yes, sir.
Had there been any discussion at all about, instead of reducing the council, increasing the budget for staff and making a well-structured, making the staff responsibilities more well-structured as it applies to the city constitution? Had there been any discussion about that? Because that will increase the response time and the help from the councilman's office.
Yeah, I think, you know, I certainly, if you can leave your name so I can follow up with you, I certainly want to, because, you know, I think those are the issues. And I think as the council people are at the table, they need to hear these things. I think there are some budget issues. I'm just getting involved in this issue, and I'm just here on behalf of the other pastors. But I think it is a very complicated issue. It's a very challenging issue. I think the article that was written today, it points that out. Mm-hmm. I think within, when you look at government, I think that we have to find a way to do more with less, and we have to be more responsive to the needs of the people. So certainly I would like to follow up with you.
Well, not in this case. More with less is not a good idea in this case. Actually, it would be do more and grab more so that we could get more, because the budgets for the staff members is pretty low. Consequently, people that have interest in being staff members and the ability to be and reach out to the people is low. But if the budget increases and the responsibilities are well structured, then that's going to help the councilman. Consequently, it's going to help the ward, the people of the ward.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, if you study the budgets in our country, from federal, state, county, you know, they're all getting reduced, and unfortunately, people are not voting for more taxes. They're, you know, there's just not as much dollars available now. Yeah, I was talking to Joe Jones about it, and he said one of the biggest surprises that he faced when he came back to city council is that they just don't have as much money and they don't control as many budgets as they used to. Great point. I think we need to talk about it.
That's why we need this community forum. That's a great, great question, caller. Thank you. Go ahead. We got another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. I was just wondering, from what I had read something about when they changed the boundary, the ward boundaries, that it affected our community, black community, in a more negative way than any other community. It was done like we were targeted.
Well, and then that is that is the issue. And that's a good question, and that's a great point. I know the proposal, Bishop Minor, I don't know if you heard this, the proposal is to have five council people on the west side, one downtown, and three on the east side. That's what's being talked, discussed. We don't know what those lines would be, but just the fact that somebody's talking like that, because we know, we all know, the concentration of African Americans in the city of Cleveland is on the east side. So that would just naturally have a negative effect on us, and that's one of the chief reasons that we are opposing it, sir.
Okay. And one more comment. It, from the last caller said something about raising the pay of the staff, but I also remember something about they wanted to cut the salaries of the council people, too. And I was just thinking, would that, do you think if they cut the salary of the council people, would they cut, go, could that cut go to the staff, or that's not even in the...
Bishop Minor was... Go ahead and respond to that.
I'm not really sure. I just, you know, I think the entire proposal hasn't been solidly thought out. I think everyone opposes, you know, part-time council people. I think that's not healthy for our community. But, you know, we got to remember, we have a black mayor, we got a majority black town. You know, it's up to us, it's up to people like you to get engaged, and we have to understand the issues, and we have to challenge, and we have to join our council people and other elected officials in making sure that our self-interest is taken care of. So I applaud you for calling and that you have concern about these issues.
Thank you for listening, sir. Thank you for your call. I think, Bishop, you can hear the consensus of at least the people who listen to us on a weekly basis, and we have a lot of them. They don't agree with the reduction of the council or their pay. But that first caller, that's Todd, he calls and listens. And I think there are people who say maybe we need another structure, maybe we need to do something different. That's why we would be valuable to have community forums and talk about these things. But, you know, I'm like you, it doesn't matter to me if we got 9,000 or 9,000. If we don't have our council people responsive to us, working together, looking out with the best interests of our community, the number doesn't matter. Sure. So let's really talk about what something that really matters and not about.
And you know, and the other thing too, for these forces that are arguing for change, you know, we just went through change, and from what I understand, and as I have observed over the years, these kind of the same people. We went from one number down to 17, and you know, is there ever enough? And so I think we have to allow this city council, we have to give them an opportunity to do what they've been elected to do. And we just can't be influenced by the whims and the ideas of anybody and everybody. And I think we have to stand together and stand up for what is right.
And also I feel that the citizens themselves, the constituents, have a responsibility because they do not take responsibility. They want someone else to do something for them. And I believe, I am not a pastor at all, that it starts in the home. If they do something in home, it will spread out to the community. But they have to take some responsibility, and they don't. They do not want to take responsibility. They don't want to go out and vote.
It's always, that's why I one of the reasons I have Dr. Jarvis on the show, Bishop, is it's always good to hear a woman's perspective. And, you know, when you think about that, that's something that is really important because as a mother, as a sister, and as a woman, women think, hey, you know, you got to do something yourself. You make sure that you take care of yourself. And that is very important that we are teaching our community that we, you know, We are the answer. We don't have to wait for someone else to be the answer. We are the answer. So while we are maybe critical, you just can't be critical of a person, a city council person, and if you're not really being engaged in the community on a regular basis. And that's a good point.
Right.
And I really appreciate that perspective.
And that's why it's so important to have, as we have in Cleveland, very strong activists, grassroots activists, mm-hmm. because the average person is dealing with so many hand-to-mouth issues.
Right.
You know, I mean, from crime to employment, I mean, all of the challenges. And then we, you know, want them to be in, you know, go to PTA meetings and go to city council meetings
right.
and go to community. It's just, it could be a huge challenge when you're already dealing with a challenged community. But, you know, thank God for those grassroots activists that are thoughtful and can speak on behalf of their peers. They're sure. all of our peers. We who are pastors, we're not politicians. I'm a pastor, so we have a voice that comes from
right.
a different lane.
That's right. Absolutely right. And that's what the voices that really have to be heard. Because, you know, as this is a political fight, but it's really very important that we continue to have these conversations from and hear from the people. Because, you know, it's one thing for the politicians to be saying it, and quite another thing when you have grassroots people, you know, communicating these things. And that's even more important, I think, in my estimation, in my view, that's more important for us to be listening to day-to-day people. Because, of course, of course, the city council people are going to be against the city council reduction in their pay. They're supposed to be. And I think it's important also to make note that as we are fighting this fight, we want to make sure that we are educating people in the right direction about why we need to do this. You know, having more staff, you're still spending more money, you know, when you think about that. So, you know, just because if I reduce the council's pay, but then I increase the staff, now I got more money I'm spending instead of less. So you got to really kind of think of how that all plays out and really think through those issues. We have, you know, we have other kind of things that, you know, it's not all the council, it's not all the mayor. We got to all begin to work together. I'm really concerned, and we have the prosecutor here. I'm really concerned about all the violence that's happening and all the people who are dying right in our community, the young men who are killing other young men. Let's address those things. And it has absolutely nothing to do with city council and their size, but if we can address those issues that are happening right now in our community, I think that we would be a lot better off instead of trying to talk about cutting things out because for whatever reason. We really would encourage people. The article today specifically, but there's a series of articles in The Plain Dealer that you ought to read. But today's article was quite enlightening to talk about the history of how we got to where we are as a city of Cleveland. And I think that goes to Bishop's point. They've already, this issue had been dealt with. There used to be 33, then it got down to 21, then it got down to 19, and then now it's stabilized at 17, and that's where it's supposed to sit. And now here we are again doing the same thing over again, and that is the question, why are we going to keep on, are we going to, if this passes or doesn't pass, you know, does it, or is it going to go away? You know, and that's what we have to really deal with because win, lose, or draw, if we win, let's say, and we plan on winning, and we still keep the 17. That doesn't mean the people are going to not want to try to put it on the ballot again. So what are we going to do about that? Or if we lose, does that mean it's 9 now? Or is there going to be a time where people will come back and say we need to go to 5 council people? So we got to know where we are and be and stick to that and, you know, do what's in the best interest of our community. And that's why we need to hear from you, the community. Give us a call. We've got about 14 minutes left. 216-578-1490. 216-578-1490. Bishop, You got to go. Tell everyone goodbye, Bishop. We thank you for being here.
Goodbye, and thank you, and I will be back.
Thank you, sir. You certainly will. And we appreciate that. Bishop Tony Miner, the great pastor of the Community of Faith Assembly Church. Tell everybody your address and what time you have service, Bishop. You don't need the headphones for that. You can just speak right in the mic.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, just tell everybody.
All right, thank you. Community of Faith Assembly is the church. Community of Faith Assembly, we are at 5246 Broadway every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the Broadway Cathedral. We have Tuesday night service at the Broadway Chapel, 5949 Ingle, 630 Bible Study. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop. All right. And keep up the great work in you and your church. God bless you. All right, Dr. Jarvis, this is you and I for these last 15 minutes, and it's just a joy being with you. You certainly have been engaged in your daishiki, in your daishiki garb today, and appreciate as you are celebrating with us this Martin Luther King holiday. And I think it's so important that that we're here on this day talking about these fantastic things. You all realize they're talking about these fantastic things on what's happening in the city of Cleveland because these are all civil rights related when talking about voting. We need to make sure people get registered to vote because voting comes up in March the 17th. If you haven't registered, make sure you register because I think the last day to register is 30 days prior to the election. So that would be February 19th, February 17th, something like that. You won't be able to register to vote and participate in the March on the March primary. If you want to, you can send for your absentee ballot. There's applications that you can receive now for the absentee ballot. We got to get someone here from the Board of Elections to explain all that to us next and in the very near future. So we want to make sure you are registered to vote. Election day is March the 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, and that is the fact that they plan the election on that day lets you know voter suppression is alive and well, and that's one of the things we have to fight. Why don't you mention something about that, Dr. Jarvis, before we get out of here?
Yes, what I'd like to mention, too, is that when you register to vote, make sure you take the time to go online and look up the League of Women Voters so you can find out what the issues are, the people are, the candidates are, and educate yourself about voting. In fact, it wouldn't be a bad idea for people to just go online and just or go to the library, like I'm a library junkie, and just study the benefits of voting. They right. don't realize it's a very personal thing. And right. you need to study just like you're studying for anything else.
Right.
You're going to study a man. You're going to study a woman. You're going to study a movie. I heard some guys today all into this, some movie, and I wanted to ask them, but I was ear hustling. Do you concentrate that much when it comes to voting?
Right, right.
But I would have been totally out of line.
Yeah,
but,
don't do that. Don't, yeah, you'll get beat up jumping in folks' conversation these days. They don't appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But voting is so important. And I don't know if people realize the only reason why we speak English is because of one vote. Other than that, we'd be speaking German.
Is that right? No,
yeah.
I don't know that
yeah.
story.
I have a whole list of things, and a lot of times I put them on my Facebook page.
Well, I'm glad we're not speaking
time.
German.
Exactly.
That's a very difficult language to learn. But I will tell you, it is supremely important that we are getting out to vote and we're mobilizing the vote. And now this may be energize people to come out to vote. And people wonder why we talk about that. I think in the last election, I think 25% of the people came out to vote in the last presidential election. We got to move those numbers up. And that's what we're talking about. Just because you registered, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to vote. Many people have registered to vote but then don't take the time to go out and vote. We will be making sure we educate you on this broadcast about the issues, and we have already paraded candidates here so you can kind of know who those folks are. We're going to have a link to our website. I wish Shante was here. She couldn't make it today. But if you go to clevelandcoalition.org, I believe is our website, and you'll be able to have a link to the Board of Elections and a link to get information concerning candidates and issue in this coming election cycle. So it may seem like March is far off, especially when it's very cold outside and it's snowing the way it is. But let me tell you, 60 days from now, actually less than 60 days from now, we will be doing the primary election right here in the state of Ohio. So we got to get ready now for that. And hopefully we're going to be rolling out a Souls to the Polls plan, because they are going to have Sunday voting that Sunday prior to the 7th, Tuesday the 17th. That'd be March the 15th, I believe, will be the early voting or Sunday voting.
Okay, let me share some dates with you.
All right,
the deadline for voters registration the state of Ohio is Monday, February 17th, which is 30 days prior to.
Okay.
And voting primary day is on March the 17th. Now, I'm going to even give you the information.
When does early voting start?
Early voting starts on
February 19th.
February
19th?
Nope, it starts on February 17th, too.
Okay.
Early voting is from February 17th, the same day as
the last day of
the last day of registration, and then absentee ballots, voting early, starts the same time. So there is, actually, you know what? There's no excuse.
Right, right.
But you know what? But one thing.
Now, wait a minute. Tell folks, that's important. Where'd you get that information?
Oh, I just Googled it.
Yeah, that's right. So how did those folks know you got that pulled up on your phone? That's
yes,
how simple
I did.
This is.
Now, yes, I did.
And you went to the voter, Cowell County Voter Board of Election?
Yes.
All right, so maybe you may not know that. If you can't get to the link of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition or can't nobody, know this, you can Google Cuyahoga County Board of Election. And that all that information that she just read to you will be right there. That's what I wanted folks to know, to step back to even know that they can access that information through their telephone.
Okay, and another thing that I see on this site, too, it says that you can keep up to date day to day with voting issues and information. You just plug in your name, address, and your email address or your home address, and they will get the information to you. Now, how simple
is
that?
That's really simple.
It's really just simple.
Yeah, no, we didn't even need a person. All we had to do was go to the website to figure that out, because I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, that's cool. Good stuff.
That is. It's no excuse.
No, there really isn't. There is no excuse for not voting. There isn't.
Yeah.
There isn't. It's so convenient. I'm one of those persons, Dr. Jarvis. I still like to go to the poll on election day. I like going up to the table, having them look up your name and knowing your name is right there. And just, I get affirmation knowing, okay, I did register. My name's right there. I voted in the last election. I can vote. Then show me where to go vote. I just love going through that process. But I'm weird. Most people don't like that. Most people like getting their groceries from Amazon or everything else from Amazon, that thing being delivered to them. So you can actually do that with voting.
Yes.
Right?
I like to do both, because I never know where I'm going to be.
Right.
I always do absentee ballot. However, you can take that downtown. But if I'm around and have some young people with me, I like to go down to the Board of Elections.
I like that process so they can
understand the process.
All right, because you can. That's a good point. Because you can vote by mail. You have to do a mail application, and they'll send you your ballot. And I wonder, are they receiving those applications now? I'm not sure, but they may, and they take those up until like 2 or 3 days before the election, so you can get your voter request for an absentee ballot and fill it out, and then mail it in, send it in, drop it off. You can do that the way you would do, like going to getting your items from Amazon. As a matter of fact, I got this shirt from Amazon.
That shirt.
Yeah, I just got it in the mail.
Something being with you, because today you were all decked out, and now you decked out with something else. I don't know if I want to hang with you anymore.
Well, I didn't want to put a suit and tie on today because I had one on for the last all weekend. But our point is, you can, just like you, I ordered this shirt on Amazon and it got delivered to my house. You can order your ballot; it'll come to your house. You can fill it out and you can mail it back in. You really have, it's the most convenient thing you can ever do. Now, let's get this clear: if somebody tells you you can vote on the internet, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. If somebody tells you that you can vote by texting, that's a lie, but those lies went out in 16 mm-hmm. to
sure
tell people.
Yes.
So you do have to fill out your ballot, and you have to send your ballot. People tell you can go to your email or something, and you just go, you can vote on the Board of Election website. None of that is true. You still have to fill out a ballot and mail a ballot in, whether you fill it out by at home or you go to fill it out on election day or you go down to the Board of Election. Now, you can, if you don't want to get your ballot mailed to you and you still want to vote early, you can literally go to the Board of Elections, which is on 3030 Euclid Street here in Cleveland, Ohio, and they will pull up your ballot for no matter where you live out in Cuyahoga County, and you can vote that way.
Exactly.
So there's plenty of ways, plenty of avenues, plenty of streams to you. There's no, as we have said over and over again, there is no excuse for us not getting out to vote.
Another thing, too, when you want to make, if you're going to do an absentee ballot, make sure you pay attention to how much postage, because there's a little bit more postage that goes on a ballot when you mail it in. And another thing, they want to talk a lot about purging. I know just a tad about purging. Now, people are just moving all over the place. So you can get purged because of your residence. You do not follow up. We must always make sure we follow up. Just like you change your driver's license, you also must update where you live and update whether or not someone is deceased. Other than that, you'll be purged. So many times when people are getting purged, it's their fault. You want to blame it on, but it's your fault because you have not taken care of your vitals.
One of the reasons you can get purged is by not participating in the last election.
Major election.
Yeah, they will purge you. But if you move, you have to change your, I'm sorry, that's right. If you move, you have to change your address. And many times that doesn't happen and people get purged. And purging means you get removed from the voter roll. So you want to always do a checkup. You know, we really should be marshaling a plan in our churches to have people just being checked up on your voter registration. That's what we really should be doing.
That's a good idea.
But we need resources to get that done. I would do it. We just need some resources to get that done.
You know what?
So we can employ you, Dr. Jarvis. You could be perfect person. You go take your computer there, you know, and pull up people and say, okay, hey, let's check your registration right now. Boom, 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 boom. Like you could have did that yesterday. Since you stayed, that would have been more valuable. And, you know, so we need
That's
to think
idea.
Of those kind of things. We have a heap of them, how to make sure you keep people engaged. But, you know,
even when people join churches.
Yeah. You should fill your card out and ask the question, are you a registered voter? If not, we can hook you up right here. We got a voter registration card for you right here. We had a young man that joined church yesterday. It had been good to not only did he join Jesus, but are you a registered voter? Well, let's make sure we should put that in. We should start incorporating that.
I don't think people realize the responsibility they have.
And you know what we could do?
It's a big responsibility.
We can start at Sure House. Man, we can start Sunday. And Sunday we're going to do a voter checkup. We're going to just have our computer there because we have internet. And we're going to ask everybody, just in case you're not sure, if you're registered to vote, go see Dr. Jarvis back there, and she'll run your name, and we'll make sure. And they're not going to be a background check. You don't have to. You know what people don't know? If you are a convicted felon in the state of Ohio, you can still vote.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that. Now, as long as you got to be out, you can't be in prison. So there's no campaigning in prison. Okay, but we got to get ready to get out of it. But as long as you are out and you have a felony will not prevent you from voting. Don't let anybody tell you that because if you got a felony, if you live in the state of Colorado, that's not true. But thank God if you live in Ohio, you can vote if you have a felony. Dr. Jarvis, we got about 90 seconds.
And real quick, people think because they registered to vote and they vote, they're going to call them for jury duty. That's not always the case. That's not always the case. To call you for jury duty. You have a responsibility to cast your vote because other than that, someone else will vote and stand in for you. And we need to be able to speak for ourselves.
Well said. And let me say that to that. We need more people to be jurors. You know, someone who is a practice that for a living. We need someone to be. We need jurors. So I actually really encourage you to go vote because when I used to impanel jurors, there was a whole lot of folks that looked like us. Coming up from upstairs from the jury room, so we do need that. But you're right. But don't let that be the thing to keep you from voting because you're afraid to be a juror. That's a very good point, Dr. Jarvis. You know, it's a heap of good reason that we have you here. I'm so glad you add a lot to our broadcast. I really wanted to say that publicly.
Well, thanks.
I appreciate that. We need that view and that perspective, especially from a female. And I really appreciate that because I'm a chauvinist. But it was really funny how you had a chauvinist on your show the other day on Thursday. But it was a good show. Hey, Hey, you have listened to The Issues, The People, and The Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the senior pastor of Sherhouse Baptist Church, executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. Thank you for listening on this Martin Luther King Day. We'll be back here next week, and we're going to have a council person here. We're going to talk about this issue. And let's pray that we settle that issue that is not on the ballot, because we need to solve other problems other than that. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week, Cleveland.
For your glory.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
Of mass incarceration.